they discuss on Bhagavad Gita verses 7 to 11 of the 12th chapter. So we will recite the verse, then you can one by one read the translation, and then I will discuss briefly on the verse. So the theme of these verses is how to connect our life with Krishna. 12.8 to 11, how to connect our lives with Krishna. So the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is called as Bhakti Yoga or devotional service, and in this 12th chapter there are three main sections. The first section, verses 1 to 7, talks about how bhakti is greater than jnana. Bhakti is higher, easier, better than jnana. Then the second section, verses talks about how bhakti is greater than jnana. Bhakti is easier to practice and it gives a higher destination than jnana. Then the second section, which is what we will discuss today, verses 8 to 11, is different levels at which you can practice bhakti. And then verses 12 to 20 talk about the qualities of a bhakti. What are the qualities of a devotee? So today we discuss about the different levels at which bhakti can be practiced. So let us recite 12.8, then we will discuss. So 12.8. Mai eva mana adhatsva. Mai buddhim niveshaya.
Mai buddhim niveshaya.
Nivasishyasi mai eva.
Nivasishyasi mai eva.
Ata urdhvam na samshayah.
Ata urdhvam na samshayah.
So, translation.
Just fix our mind upon me, the supreme personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus, you will live in me always, without a doubt.
So, mai eva mana adhatsva. Krishna is telling, fix your mind on me. Mai buddhim niveshaya. Niveshaya is the word nivas. Nivas means to reside. So let your intelligence reside in me. And if you do this, then nivasishyasi mai eva. In this way you will actually reside in me. That means you will be in Krishna consciousness. So this is actually the highest level of bhakti. So actually Krishna gives the highest level and gradually gives us more and more easier levels for us to practice. See, in life we do various activities, but our greatest attachment is towards the things which we love, and that is where our mind, our intelligence and our heart resides. So all of us have a physical home, but along with that, we all have an internal home. Internal home means that those thoughts, those objects, when we think about them, we feel peaceful, we feel joyful, we feel at home mentally. So for most people, their mental home is television.
Kaliyoga, isn't it?
So they're thinking about which is the next cricket match coming up, the next TV program that I can watch. So they come back home and they just sit in front of the idiot box and let their minds become reduced to an idiot level. But others may have their mental home as maybe their mother, their father. Whenever they feel some difficulty, they think of their loved one. Time of youth, often the mental home becomes sense gratification. That means as soon as our mind doesn't have anything else to think of, it thinks of sense gratification. See, what is the nature of home? When we don't have anywhere else to go, we come back. Generally, we go out of the home for some particular work, and the work is done, we come back home. When we come back home, we feel comfortable, we come peaceful, we feel joyful. So like that, for most people, especially in youth, the mental home is sense gratification. I mean, they think of other things because they are forced to. Okay, you have to do some job, you have to do some studies. So that's what we think about those things. But as soon as that is over, immediately their minds come back to sense gratification. So all of us have our own internal homes. And different people have different internal homes. However, all internal homes except Krishna consciousness ultimately make us homeless. What do you mean by homeless? It's like people had so many homes on the coast of Japan, but when the tsunami came, it just made them all homeless. The homes were destroyed. So we make our homes in so many material objects. Yes, thinking about this, doing this will give me joy, will give me peace. And therefore, let me think about this constantly. So, that way, we work so hard every day. And when you work in this way, what happens? We cultivate our attachments. And as the attachments keep growing more and more, we become more and more attached to our mental homes. And the more we become attached to the mental homes, the more it's difficult for us to get out. Even for a short time, you know, if a person is addicted to, say, alcohol, then he may be in an office doing work, but his mind is in the bottle of alcohol. So, his mind is actually, it is not a home, it is a prison. It is a prison. Because even when he wants to come out, he can't come out. He's dragged back inside. So like that, once we become attached to something, it doesn't become a shelter, it becomes a trap. We think it is a shelter. Actually, a person who is alcoholic thinks that I cannot live without alcohol. No, I cannot drink that. I lose my peace of mind, I lose my self-control, I can't do anything properly. Actually, it is not that he can't live without alcohol. It is, he cannot live because of alcohol. Because of alcoholism, life is becoming so miserable, so agitated, so wretched. But he thinks otherwise. So he is thinking that alcohol is a shelter for him. But we understand that alcohol is not a shelter, it is a trap for him. It is actually imprisoning him. So the whole process of bhakti is meant to free our minds from the prison and offer our mind the shelter. So what is actually a prison, we are thinking it is a shelter. But it is a prison because it makes us eventually suffer. See, in one sense, even a prison is a shelter. If there is rains coming, then even the prison protects us from the rains. If there is very hot, then the prison protects us from the heat. But there is suffering over there. There is hard work, there is suffering, there is deprivation. Similarly, in material, we may feel that the material sense objects, when we contemplate on them, when we enjoy them, they give some pleasure. Yes, they do. But along with that, they bring so much agitation. The difference, the essential difference between the shelter of Krishna and the shelter of anything else is that the shelter of Krishna can last forever. The shelter of nothing else can last forever. Now, if a person is attracted to alcohol, he can think about alcohol 24 hours a day. But thinking of alcohol doesn't give him happiness. It only creates more and more agitation, more and more anxiety. Then will I get it? Chintam parimeyam cha pralayantam upashitah kamopabhoga parama etavadi nishchitah. The 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita verse 11, Lord Krishna tells that as soon as one thinks that self-gratification is the source of happiness, kamo bhoga parama etavati nishchita. As soon as he thinks like this, then chinta aparimeyam cha, his anxieties become unlimited. Immeasurable. How long the anxiety lasts? Pralayantam upashita. Till the moment of death, the anxieties last. So, the difference between any shelter other than Krishna is that the external shelters, they cannot give us permanent happiness. It's only if a boy is attracted to a girl. Now the thought of the girl, you may think, oh, it makes me so excited, it makes me so thrilled, so romantic. But actually it's agitation. That's why only when a person gets in contact with the sense object, then he feels some enjoyment. Actually that enjoyment is temporary, it's actually a relief. It's not enjoyment. It's a relief from a suffering. The suffering of agitation, the suffering of anger, the suffering of Krishna, craving. So similarly, any material activity, now, you know, many Indians are euphoric. Euphoric means very, very happy because India won the World Cup. Now when India won the World Cup, so one student asked me this question. He said that all material pleasures are just eating, sleeping, waiting, depending. So where does cricket come in? Eating, sleeping, waiting, depending. So what do you think? Where does cricket come in? Eating, sleeping, waiting, depending?
Sleeping.
Depending. They're not sleeping at the battlefield, are they? Are the
depending.
How depending?
They are
affecting
to other
countries. Yeah. Yeah, good. What about self-gratification? Like, you know,
these
are four activities,
eating, sleeping, depending,
and
done for
self-gratification.
And it's for
our
comfort zone.
In the same way,
their particular activity
is
also related to this. And in some
ways,
they are doing the same thing
of
self-gratification as they do in these four
activities. Okay, good. Yeah. All the answers are correct. Sleeping, in the sense that it is ignorance. They are ignorance of their true identity. And just doesn't sleep during the ones, so in that sense it's correct. The important thing to understand is that when we say eating, sleeping, waking, depending, it's not that human beings do only these four activities. Human beings get pleasure only in these four activities. See, like you go and do a software program in a company, which how is that eating, sleeping, waking, depending? The software program doesn't give you pleasure. The software program, we earn money, and then by earning money, we eat, sleep, wait, and depend. And that's what we enjoy. So it is not that humans do only these four activities. It's only these four activities is a source of pleasure. In the materialistic or the bodily conception of life, there are only these four sources of pleasure. So actually, after the whole, if they won the World Cup, what are they going to do? They are going to blow champagne, drink. They are going to drink and then most of them probably are going to mate. So the purpose of all this is eating and mating. And as you rightly said, it is also defending. Why defending? Because basically, you know, during the knockout matches, if you look at the faces of the cricketers during the matches, there's so much tension. You know, if you look at the hands, sometimes there's so much pressure, their hands are trembling and, you know, they may just drop some simple catches and then they're so much more miserable because of that. And actually, you can clearly see there is ahar nidra bhaya maitu. They are in full of bhaya. Then there is so much fear. So there is so much tension. They don't use the word fear. They use the word pressure. There is so much pressure. And some cricket team is not able to cope with the pressure. Then they say, this is a joker. They choke under pressure. So they are not just jokers. They are all jokers. Why jokers? Because it's not a very important thing. They are making it so important. Actually, the Prime Minister of the country is coming to watch a cricket match. The Prime Minister doesn't have anything more important to do. You know, on the Siachen border, every day, so many soldiers are dying because of cold, because of extreme weather, because of that time of the Pakistanis. And there, the Indian soldiers are dying. And the head of the state who is causing the death of the Indian soldiers, he is invited as a guest of honor. And both the Indian head of state and the Pakistani head of state are just watching a cricket match. So, inviting the Pakistani head of state to India is an insult to the 26/11 victims. No, that it's such a small thing, it's going to be a big, big thing. And very, very important things are completely sidelined and neglected. So the point is that it is defending. Why defending? Because basically defending means the other team is attacking, we need to defend ourselves. So now even if India won the World Cup, what is going to happen the next time? Next time we are going to be the defending champion. So we have to defend all the world. So the defending keeps increasing. So it's basically defending. Defending means what? Show of strength. When a tiger is running after a deer, the deer is defending. Is the tiger defending? The tiger is also defending. The tiger is defending itself from its hunger. It has actually been tortured by hunger. It is running as fast as possible to catch the prey and eat it. So, there is some fear. That's why, if you see, it's a very, you know, you have to be very careful to read Krishna Prabhupada's books. Now, the Sanskrit is Ahara Nidra Bhayamaitu. Bhaya is fear. Krishna Prabhupada translates Bhaya as defending. Now, somebody from accurate Sanskrit point of view says, Bhaya is not defending, Bhaya is fear. But actually, yes, Bhaya is fear. But if there is fear, what do we do? We defend. So when there is a cricket World Cup, there is so much fear, isn't it? Or the cricketers are fearful, will we win or lose? Or the fans are fearful, will we win or lose? And just as when we talk about alcohol, when a person drinks, it's not that he becomes happy. Basically, before drinking, he's so agitated. When will I get this? When will I get this? When will I get this? So finally, when he gets it, he gets a relief from that agitation. And that's what he calls as happiness. But similarly, in cricket, you know, there is fear. And when we win, there is relief from that fear. And that's what people call it happiness. So actually, it's not happiness, it's simply a relief. So, all the other shelters, they are temporary shelters. Okay, now people, yes, we won, and therefore they are very happy. And you know, maybe some people will make their mental home, they will dream about how India hit the winning shot and won the World Cup. And they keep thinking about it, dreaming about it. Sometimes on the streets, you know, you see some boys are walking along, they are swinging their hands. And then they had mats for everything. So they are in the dream world. But what is going to happen? Is this dream going to last? Is India going to win all the time? So if we make cricket our shelter, cricket cannot give us permanent shelter. Tomorrow when India loses, it is so miserable. In the previous World Cup, India was knocked out in the qualifiers only. Before the qualifiers. So, you know, it was heartbreaking for the Indians. So, the same shelter became a source of misery, not a source of solace. And so, it's better about anything that we take shelter of apart from Krishna. It may give us temporary shelter, but afterwards it becomes a burden, it becomes a prison, it becomes a source of suffering. Therefore, the whole process of bhakti is to give ourselves the right shelter. And in bhakti, we don't necessarily have to change our external activity. If we are students, we will continue to be students. If we are businessmen, software professionals, we continue to do that. But we change our internal shelter. Many people have their internal shelter in money. Yes, I have a bank account. But then when the recession took place, what happened? The bank only collapsed. So what happens to your bank account? Oh, you know, early 1929 there was a similar very big recession, like 2007. So at that time the devaluation of the American currency was so great that when people would go to the grocery shop to purchase bread, they would take a bucket full of dollar notes. They would please give us some bread. And the shopkeeper will take the bucket, throw all the dollars into the dustbin and give the person bread worth the price of the bucket. The dollar has become so utterly valueless because ultimately it's a piece of paper. And if the currency rates fall, exchange rates fall, it will be completely devalued. So people may say, I have so much money in my bank account, but the dollar still loses value. What do you mean? So any shelter other than Krishna will turn out to be a disaster in the long run. Therefore, Krishna tells, the highest level of bhakti is what? One takes shelter of me, one resides in me. And how we take shelter? We think and we plan. Thinking is the activity of the mind, planning is the activity of the conscience. So So the devotee is always thinking about Krishna. It's like, okay, how can I share Krishna's message? How can I understand Krishna's message? How can I associate with Krishna's devotees? So in this way, thinking and planning. In this way, the devotee is residing in Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada went to America for the first time, he went in a ship. He went to New York, and then subsequently some of his students, Mukunda Prabhu later on became Mukunda Maharaj, Michael Grant at that time. He went to San Francisco and started preaching over there. So then he is told Prabhupada, please come here to San Francisco, and there are good preaching opportunities. So he sent Srila Prabhupada a flight ticket. And then Srila Prabhupada, the first time, boarded a flight. And now for most people, first time they are boarding a flight, they think, oh, something very special, I have to fly now. And they tell everyone, I went by flight, people tell. So when Srila Prabhupada got down in San Francisco, the devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, how was your flight? Prabhupada said, when I was looking from above, I saw all these big houses. They're so tiny, like matchboxes. I was thinking, from this height, they're all so small. And Krishna is the spiritual world. From Krishna's height, how small they
How tiny they will be. So, the Prabhupada was in the plane, but he was thinking about Krishna. The shelter was not in the plane. The shelter was in Krishna.
So, that is the devotee. Mai eva mana, that's mai buddhi nimechaya. Nivasishyasi mai eva ata urvam na samshaya. There is no doubt. If you always think about Krishna and you plan to serve Krishna, then you will reside within Krishna. No doubt about that. And after that, the next verse is, Krishna says, okay, I cannot always think of Krishna. My mind goes into so many other things. So what to do? I say, okay, if you can't do that, then there's one level below. Another thing which we know. Atha chittam samadhatum. Na shaknosi mai sthiram. Abhyasa yogena tato. Mamichhaptum dhananjaya.
Translation. My dear Arjun, O winner of men, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of bhakti.
In this way, develop a desire to perform.
Atha means if chittam samadhatum. If your chitta, your mind is not satisfied, samadhatum. Nashaknosi, it's not possible for you. Maistiram. Think about Krishna all the time. So many other things to think about. It is not possible for you to think of Krishna all the time because you don't get satisfaction in that. Then, what should you do? Abhyasa yogena to. Abhyas yoga means abhyas in. See, there are many words in Sanskrit and they also come in Hindi. But often the words change their meaning slightly. So abhyas in Hindi or Marathi means study. But abhyas in Sanskrit means practice. So, that's why Krishna is saying abhyasa yoga. Now, abhyasa means practice trying to fix your mind. Yoga means to connect with Krishna. So, abhyasa yoga means basically trying to fix the mind in Krishna. So when we chant, we try to come to this level. We try to fix the mind in Krishna. Although the mind goes to hundreds of other things, we try to bring it back to Krishna. And what is the purpose of fixing the mind in Krishna? Maam Ichha Aptum Dhananjaya. Maam Ichha Aptum. Aptum means to obtain. Maam Ichha is the desire to obtain. By fixing the mind in Krishna, we start relishing, oh, how wonderful it is to fix the mind in Krishna. Many times during our japa, we are not able to concentrate. But in the few times when we are able to concentrate, we find it feels so peaceful, so joyful, so empowered, so enriched. So, yes, it's so wonderful. We may not feel this so often during japa, but many times we feel this during kirtans. Feel ourselves uplifted, energized spiritually. So, this experience is so wonderful. I want to be absorbed in Krishna like this. So, in this way, when we have the experience of our mind being fixed on Krishna, our desire to fix our mind on Krishna will increase more and more and more. So, the purpose of sadhana bhakti, abhyas yoga, another word for abhyas yoga is sadhana bhakti. So all of us, what we are doing is sadhana bhakti. So every day we wake up and we try to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. What is its purpose? The purpose is to increase in attraction for Krishna. So when our attraction for Krishna will increase, naturally we will want to think of Krishna. Naturally we will want to remember Krishna. So if we do our chanting as a ritual, we will get the 16 rounds done, but mamicha punyananjaya will not happen. We will not develop attraction for Krishna. But we try to think the mind of Krishna. That is all of us. Then by that, gradually we become more and more attracted to Krishna. And in this way, we will return back to Krishna. So therefore, the crucial thing for us is to steadily practice spiritual life and try to fix the mind. Dhananjaya. Dhananjaya means dhana is wealth. Anjaya is one of obtainer or conqueror of wealth. So Arjuna, you are a king, you will win this war and you will gain great wealth. But the greatest wealth is the wealth of attraction to me. So attain that wealth, Arjuna. Ma vichyaptum dhananjaya. Now, how does our attraction to Krishna increase? Yes, repeatedly chanting and all things is good. But along with that, we hear about Krishna. We learn about Krishna more and more. So, when we understand, when we hear the pastimes of Krishna, we understand how Krishna is a sweet, loving person. You know, in the Western religions, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, they all talk about God. But the revelation of God over there is very incomplete. Therefore, the predominant idea of God is as a punisher. If you disobey God, that God will throw thunderbolts on your head. And the thunderbolt is then spinning down into hell. And there you'll burn in the fires of hell forever. So, it is a very unforgiving, harsh portrayal of God. Now, yes, God is a judge also. And yes, those who are sinful are punished. But that is only one small aspect of God. God, in a sense, is not judging others. God, in a sense, is loving others. So, that beautiful depiction of God as a lover comes in the biblical picture. That's why when Western scholars came to India, and they came to Vrindavan, and they came to Mathura, and then they saw all over, everywhere, these pictures of Krishna. They have Krishna with butter on his face, and his hand in his pocket, and a butter pot. And then they said, what was this? This is God. God, what is he doing? He's stealing butter. They heard that, they all got intellectual short circuit. They couldn't figure out, how is God a small child? How is God stealing butter? So, your God is all powerful. But when he wants to do lila, when he wants to do pastime, he manifests the form as a small baby. Now, in front of his devotee, he doesn't want to show, I am such a big person, I am God, bow down to me, otherwise I'll send you to hell. No, that is not the idea, that is not what God delights. He may do that, that's, because he has to administer all the new beings. But in essence, he wants to love everyone. If the devotee wants to love him, then the Lord manifests the form that is suitable for him. You know, if the Lord is sitting with four hands, and the throne of Vishnu, they should have, I can't love him. You can't see him as a child. Krishna was very small form. Shikhe nidayadhyatayodadhini bahir kashayam vrajanayikayam muktvayatheshtam kapatena suptam balam mukundam manasasmarami. Manasasmarami. I remember. Whom do I remember? Balam Mukunda. Balam Mukunda. That Lord, Mukunda, who is the giver of liberation, he has taken the form of a Bala, small child. Shikheni Dhyatya Payodhaini. Shikheni Dhyatya means nice thoughts. Thoughts of Payo. Payo is milk. Dhyatya is curd. So, Mother Yashoda had kept milk and curd in nice pots. And then, Bahirgatayam Prajanayikayam Prajanayika, the Rajeshwari. Yashoda Maya, the queen of the king of Vrindavan, she went out to Zoro, Bahirgatayam. And Krishna was sleeping at that time. So, Krishna immediately, as soon as Mother Yashoda was sleeping, he got up. And he went and Tvayateshtam Tathashtam. As his desire, he had nice butter and and then created very nicely. And then, Mother Yashoda will catch him. So then immediately he went back. And, Kapate Nina Suptam, he pretended to be fast asleep.
So Mother Yashoda comes back.
Who has stolen Krishna? He doesn't even wake up. Krishna?
Yes.
Did you take butter? I was sleeping. Can't you see I was sleeping? Kapate na suttam palam dukundam manasas marami. That Lord, I remember. So in this way, Krishna's pastimes, they depict such a beautiful sweet picture of Krishna. And when we think of Krishna's pastimes, our attraction to Krishna increases. So this is Abhyasa Yoga. Abhyasa Yoga involves this. Active Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasem, nine activism. So the more we do this, so every morning we wake up, we chant Hare Krishna, we do Mangalarti, we hear class. What is its purpose? Ma Ichchaptum Dhananjaya. To increase our attraction for Krishna. And by this, every day we keep doing this, our attraction to Krishna will increase more and more and more. Now, most of us cannot practice Abhyas Yoga throughout the day. Isn't it? The bhakti is not a 1 hour activity to do it. It has to be a full day, full life activity. So we can't do you may do Abhyasa Yoga in the morning for a few hours. But what about the remaining time of the day? Krishna says, okay, if you cannot do Abhyasa Yoga, there's one level lower also. That's the next verse. Abhyase pya samarthosi.
Abhyase pya samarthosi.
Matkarma paramo bhava.
Matkarma paramo bhava.
Madartham api karmani.
Madartham api karmani.
Kurvan siddhim avapsyasi.
Kurvan siddhim avapsyasi.
So, translation.
If you cannot practice the regulations of the material, then just try to work for this. Because they're working for me.
So, if you cannot fix your mind with me all the time, then work for me. Yes, Krishna is in one lower level. When we work for Krishna, then what are we doing? We are not directly thinking of Krishna, like some of you were cooking earlier. Now, during cooking, are we always thinking of Krishna? We know that we are doing this for Krishna, we want to offer it to Krishna. But we are not directly thinking of Krishna. You know, when Arjuna was shooting arrows, he was like, Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! I'm shooting arrows like that. His mind was fixed on Krishna. You know, he knew that it's Krishna's desire to fight the war, so I'm fighting. But when he was fighting, his mind was fixed on okay, how can I win this war? How can I fight? How can I subdue this enemy? So he's thinking of that. So that, this is actually for us to fix our mind and our work is easier. So, matkarma, what do we do our work for? Work for Krishna. Matkarma paramo bhava. So, when we work for Krishna, at least we do seva. So, whatever seva we do, so the highest level is to be always thinking of Krishna. One level below is to do sadhana, where we try to think of Krishna. One level below is seva, where we offer the fruits of our work to Krishna. So, many of you go and try to share Krishna consciousness with your friends. So now when your friends become devotees, like when our devotees go for the solution, and people ask, you know, okay, how much commission do you get?
How much commission do you get?
Because in the 1970s when devotees used to distribute books, they used to get so much joy in distributing books. Sometimes they would go in the morning after class at 9 o'clock, and they would come back directly at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. And one of our devotees, he met the marketing head of one of the biggest firms in the world. And he said, the way you people are distributing your commodities, I have not seen any marketing anyone do like this. So much dedication, so much expertise. He said, I told his devotee distributor, he said, you join my company, I will make you the marketing head for all of America.
Devotee said, I have more important things to do in life.
So, the devotees can go at a material level, they can become very dedicated. And they ask, okay, if you don't want to come, you tell me how much they are paying you. We'll pay you more than that. He said, I am not getting anything. I am getting Krishna return. So, when we work for Krishna, we don't get anything. We don't expect any financial returns. That is matkarma. We work for Krishna. So that is seva. That's a Prabhupada translated as devotional service. So some people say, I am in the government service, I am in the service of the army, I am serving that. But we want to serve the Supreme Lord. And what do we get in return? Materially we don't get anything, but spiritually we get everything. But Krishna himself becomes indebted to the devotee who renders service to him. Krishna, how can I repay this devotee? And in the Ramayana, Lord Ramchandra, all the Vanaras work so hard to serve him. Kapivara santata samsmita rama tadgati vignatvam sakarama rama rama jaya raja rama 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 jaya sita rama. So in the Nama Ramayana it is described that when these Vanaras went in search of Mother Sita, so there is so many dangers. Kapivara means the best among the monkeys. Kapi is monkey. Santata samsmita rama. They are always remembering Lord Rama. Yes, we have to fulfill this instruction, we have to fulfill this desire. And then what did Lord Ramachandra do? He personally arranged. Tat-prati-vignat-vamsaka-rama. He removed all the obstacles in their path so that they could fulfill the service. So before that, Hanuman had never even thought of that he would be able to jump across an ocean. But then Lord Ramachandra went forward. And when he was jumping across, he was thinking, you know, by chanting the name of Ram, the devotees can cross over the entire material existence. So what is this small ocean? I can easily cross over it. He had no fear in his heart. So actually, the Vanaras did so much service. And at the end, when Vibhishan became the king, you know, that Abhishekta Vibhishan Nata Rama, when he made Vibhishan became the king, the Vibhishan told him, thank you. Thank you for rescuing Lanka from the cruel hands of Ravana. And you have protected all our citizens. And you have made me the king. I am very grateful to you. What can I do for you? So what did Lord Ram say? Lord Ram said, give me your treasure. I have conquered your king. He said, all these Vanara, they served me so much. But when they served me because I was in the jungle, I did not have anything to offer to them. So please reward all these Vanaras. So he was personally concerned. Not like this junior doing so much service. So please reward. So that is the Lord. So in the render service, what does the Lord give? The Lord gives himself. So by service also, our attraction to Krishna will increase more and more. The service of attraction to Krishna increases. And then, many of us may not be able to do service also all the time. Isn't it? Because we may have our studies, we may have our jobs. Now, are our studies also meant for serving Krishna? Yes, they are. But still, if you are studying, then we want to eventually get marks or earn a job. We have a job. When we are earning a job, then what we do? We earn a living by that. So, the one level below that. That if you can't work for me, then what should you do? So then Krishna describes that in the next verse. So, then, what time should we go on? So the next verse is basically, do any of you have any questions till now? Because then we can take some time for questions. The next verse talks about how we should work for Krishna.
Athaitat apyashaktosi
matkarma param kartum yog madashritaha
kartum
madashritaha. What is सर्वकर्मफलत्यागम्
सर्वकर्मफलत्यागम्
ततः कुरु यतात्मवान्
ततः कुरु यतात्मवान्.
ट्रांसलेशन.
इफ हाउएवर यू आर अनेबल टू वर्क इन दिस कॉन्शियसनेस ऑफ मी देन ट्राई टू एक्ट गिविंग अप ऑल द रिजल्ट्स ऑफ योर वर्क एंड ट्राई टू बी सेल्फ सफिशिएंट.
यस. सो नाउ स्पेशली इफ यू कांट वर्क फॉर मी देन गिव इन चैरिटी. Sacrifice the fruits of your work. The whole process of spiritual life is basically a journey from selfishness to selflessness. It's a spiritual advancement means what? You basically move from selfishness to selflessness. Selfishness means I want everything for my enjoyment, everything for me. You know, as soon as Hanuman saw Sita, I want to return Sita back to But Ravana saw Sita, I want to enjoy myself. So Ravana's mentality is selfish mentality. Hanuman's mentality is selfless mentality. So everything in this world, a devotee, if he sees a beautiful building, he says, oh, Krishna has it and triple comes so nice. But this person, oh, I want to have a house like this. So it's not that the devotee gives up desires. The devotee has desires, but the nature of the desires is transformed. So desiring for oneself, a devotee desires everything from Krishna. So, one transitional stage in between is, the first is desiring everything for oneself. The highest is desiring everything for Krishna. In between is sacrificing whatever we desire for ourselves for some higher purpose. So now, the best charity is if we can give direct charity to Krishna. That means, we have earned some money by our hard work. And we could use it for our enjoyment. And what we do? Yes, Krishna, for your service I sacrifice this. That is also selflessness. And that's why all the religions of the world talk about charity. Because charity brings selflessness. And the charity should be given in such a way that it is given regularly. Some people say, now I don't have enough money, so I can't give charity. In the future, when I have enough money, then, you know, I will give a big amount, I will give several lakhs of rupees. But till then, don't even ask me for a few rupees. Now, what happens is, the point is not to give charity. The point is to develop the habit of charity. If you want to develop the habit of selflessness, it's like, you know, suppose, now we have some prasad. Now, if there is less prasad for everyone, then, you know, all of us should take a little less, that everybody gets enough. So, you know, now I am hungry, now I will take a lot, and in the future, when there is a lot of prasad, I will give some to others. It's good. At least in the future, you are thinking of giving to others. But ideal is, when there is a need, you should develop the habit of sharing. So that idea of habit of sharing or sacrificing, that is a culture. So now within this also, there are two levels. One is, one sacrifices the fruits of one's work directly to Krishna. And the other is, one sacrifices the fruits of one's work for some good cause. For example, after a tsunami. So some people may do some charity. There are poor people, we may do charity for those poor people. Which is all good. When we give for Krishna, then Krishna uses that for the best purpose. That's a charity to directly give to Krishna is considered the best. So what should you do? Sarva karma falatyagam tathakuru yathatmavan. Become self-satisfied with this. So now if you see within our Krishna conscious society, all of us aspire for the highest level. That is 12.8 that we discussed. All of us, whether we are brahmacharis, grahasthas, vanaprastha, sannyasis, students, software professionals, preachers, whatever. All of us want to ultimately come to the level of always thinking of Krishna. But at our stage, what do? We are at 12.9. We are all doing sadhana. Everybody takes initiation, everybody chants 16 rounds, everybody follows 4 eight principles. So, we all practice sadhana bhakti. And by that, we are all trying to maam icha artim dhananjaya. That's 12.9. Now, 12.10 is to work for Krishna. So, those who are brahmacharis, they are directly working for Krishna. So, throughout the full day, they are working for Krishna. They are trying to. And those who are grahasthas, they also do some seva for Krishna. Part of their time, part of their day, part of their week, part of their life, they try to render some sacred action. So Brahmacharya is at the second and third level, and they try to come to the first level. Grihasthas are at the second, third, and fourth levels because they are also working. And working, while working, they give some part of their life as charity. So, but Krishna says, whichever level you are at, ultimately you will attain. So, gradually by practice, we'll all become elevated. And in the next verse, Krishna will describe, we'll recite the next verse. Shreyo Vijnanam Abhyasat.
Shreyo Vijnanam Abhyasat.
Jnanadhyanam Vishishyate.
Jnanadhyanam Vishishyate.
Jnanat Karma Phalat Tyagam.
Jnanat Karma Phalat Tyagam.
Tyagat Shantir Anantaram.
Tyagat Shantir Anantaram.
So Tyagat Shantir Anantaram. Shanti is peace. Ananta, ananta means unending. Unending, undiluted peace will come by tyag, by renunciation. So, this, the hierarchy which Krishna talks about in this verse earlier is quite intricate. And it will take a full class to explain what Krishna is saying. So we won't go into it this time. But the important principle here, that to the extent we can develop detachment, to the extent we will become peaceful. Now, for example, if we are dealing in stock market, then if the stock market shares go up, shares go down, you will be anxiety. If you are not dealing in stock market, then there is no anxiety. Tyagat Shanti Ranantara. You know, if we are attached to cricket, then India wins, India loses, they are excited, up and down. But if you are not attached to cricket, it doesn't matter. Isn't it? So, Tyagat Shanti Ranantara. The extent we become detached, the extent we become peaceful. Now, detachment is not irresponsibility. The two are very different. Detachment is not irresponsibility. If a student finds his study very difficult, and he says, you know, okay, I'll renounce my studies, and I'll become peaceful. Tyaga Shanti Ranantara.
Will that work?
No. Detachment and irresponsibility are two very different things. See, irresponsibility means that one doesn't want to do any hard work. One doesn't want to sacrifice, one doesn't want to commit, and so one just does whatever the mind tells one to do. So irresponsibility means one is simply controlled by the mind. One is doing whatever the mind tells one to do. The mind always wants to take the path of least resistance. The path of least resistance. That means, you know, so imagine if you have a full afternoon free, and just in dark, I have some journal to complete, I can complete that. Maybe I can read the Prabhupada book. Yesterday I think instead of sleeping 6 hours, I slept 5 hours 55 minutes. So
maybe I can sleep for some time.
So if you just leave your mind all these options, which option the mind will take?
Sleep.
So the mind always takes the path of least resistance. And when we take the path of least resistance, we often become irresponsible. So, irresponsibility means we just go according to the mind's whims. Whereas detachment means we live according to principles irrespective of what the mind feels. So, in irresponsibility, we are controlled by the mind. In detachment, we have controlled the mind. So, Bhagavad Gita doesn't teach irresponsibility. Bhagavad Gita teaches detachment. So as devotees, as student devotees, we cannot renounce our studies because they are our duty. But at the same time, a devotee is detached. That means, yes, I do my studies as nicely as possible. And after I have done it, I will not be worried all the time. What will be the result? What will be the result? Now I have done my part, let the result depend on Krishna. Do your best, leave the rest to Krishna. So that is detachment. Detachment means we do our duty, but we are not attached to the result. See, when many people, see, Krishna is telling us to renounce the results of the work. But many people are eager to renounce the work itself. You know, that's not what Bhagavad Gita says. We renounce the attachment to the results of the work. So to the extent we can renounce those attachment to the results, we become peaceful and joyful. And so Bhagavad Gita teaches us to replace our attachment for material things to spiritual things. And how a devotee becomes happy by that, I'll tell one example and I'll conclude.
People think if you're detached, then how can you do any activity properly?
Suppose now when you're cooking prasadam.
So you're detached. You know, whether the prasadam is cooked nicely or not, it doesn't matter, you're detached.
Will it work? Is that Bhagavad philosophy? We are supposed to cook bhoga for Krishna.
So can you, Krishna, you only told me to be detached. So it doesn't taste good. It's your problem, not my problem.
We can't say like that.
So what does detachment actually mean? Detachment means we are careful in doing our work, but we are not attached to the result of the work.
We are attached to pleasing Krishna. So imagine if there is a cloth shop. You know, if you have a cloth shop and there is a owner of the shop sitting at the counter, handling the cash. And then inside the cloth shop, there are many employees. You know, they show the clothes. So sometimes some people go and then they show me that dress, show me that dress, show me that dress, show me that dress. So you know, some women go and they want to see all the saris in the shop. I mean, not show the sari, but unwind the whole sari and show it. Not this, not this. And sometimes some customer may say 50 saris. And I say, I don't want any of them.
इतना टाइम बर्बाद कर दिया, यू वेस्टेड सो मच ऑफ माय टाइम, द एम्प्लॉय कैन बी वेरी एंग्री, वेस्टेड ऑल माय टाइम,
बट द एम्प्लॉय विल नॉट बिकम एंग्री, व्हाई? बिकॉज़ ही नोज दैट हिज बॉस इज वाचिंग, एंड इफ ही इज बिहेविंग नाइसली विद द कस्टमर, ही इज डीलिंग नाइसली, ट्राइंग टू बिहेव पोलाइटली, एंड द बॉस इज वाचिंग एंड द बॉस विल गिव हिम द सैलरी. सो means he is concerned about doing the marketing nicely, but he is not attached.
Because you know, the business doesn't depend on me.
The profit or the loss is going to the proprietor. But if I am doing my job properly, my salary is assured. So like that, a devotee goes and tries to preach. Now, sometimes people may accept, sometimes people may not accept. Now, Srila Prabhupada was preaching in America, and this David, one of the young boys who is preaching to, suddenly the devil took drugs and went mad and he came to attack Sri Prabhupada. Sri Prabhupada was a 70-year-old old man and his devil was wild by drugs.
Prabhupada, what could he do? He just had to
leave that place in jail. But later when he met David,
Prabhupada was not angry with him. Prabhupada is still kind and compassionate.
If somebody comes to attack us,
how can he be kind and compassionate?
Prabhupada was saying, actually, it's Krishna's will. So actually, if I try to teach properly, Krishna will be pleased. And if Krishna is pleased, then he will give me. My purpose is to please Krishna, he will give me the results. So a devotee always sees, he does his service as best as he can. But his goal is not to just get the immediate result of the service. He does want the result of the service also. It's not that we don't want. You know, the employee is trying to show us clothes. He wants the clothes also to be sold. But he's not attached to that. He's not dependent on that. So like that, we try to share Krishna's wisdom as effectively as is possible. But if people take it, that's their fortune. If they don't, that's their misfortune. But if we are trying to share Krishna's message, we will all make special advancement. We will develop attraction to Krishna and we will present to Krishna. So in this way, a devotee is detached from the result, but he is not irresponsible about the service. Very responsible, very responsible. To do every simple thing scrupulously. So Srila Prabhupada, when he was in Mayapur, they started the Mayapur project. How many of you have been to Mayapur? Oh, yeah, others will sometimes go. It's our international headquarters, very beautiful place. And at that time, there was no water supply, there was no river. The river was far, there was no pump. There was only one pump by which water would come. So, Srila Prabhupada was so careful. You know, if in 6 hours, one tap would leak one drop of water, the Prabhupada would be there right in front when that drop is falling and say, you are wasting Krishna's water. Prabhupada would say, don't waste Krishna's water. So, was Prabhupada attached? No. He was conscious of Krishna and Krishna's energy. And he wanted to protect Krishna's energy. So in this way, a devotee is responsible. So this is the great art, the great secret of the Bhagavad Gita. What is it? Detachment without responsibility. We become detached from material things by becoming attached to Krishna. And when we can do this, then our life becomes joyful. Irrespective of whether we get success or failure, we always keep relating to Krishna and getting joy in our relationship with Krishna. And ultimately, we return back to Krishna. So I'll summarize. We started by talking about the different levels of bhakti, isn't it? So first we talk about the internal home, the mental home. People have different mental zones. Somebody has cricket, somebody has money, somebody has sense gratification, somebody has alcohol. All these mental homes, they give some shelter initially, but then they become burdens, they become traps, they become sources of suffering. The only mental home that gives happiness forever is Krishna. And therefore, the whole process of bhakti is to make our internal home as Krishna. Now, we cannot always think of Krishna, therefore, the next level in 12.9 is sadhana bhakti. Try to think of Krishna, and by that, develop attraction to Krishna. One level below that is work for Krishna. Do seva. One level below that is do whatever work you are doing, but sacrifice the fruits. Sacrifice the fruits either for Krishna or for some good cause. And this way develop attachment. And gradually by that attachment, you develop attachment to Krishna. And lastly, we concluded by discussing how a devotee is detached but not irresponsible. Because he is not attached to the result, but he is attached to pleasing Krishna. And that attachment to pleasing Krishna makes him responsible. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Bhaktavinda ki, Jai Gaura Prema Anandi. Thank you very much.